السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. صدق الله العظيم. رد درود شریف. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa and those listening over the receivers, I discussed this afternoon in the Jumma talk that we cannot really pinpoint and say exactly the Miraj was on the 27th, because there are different reports in the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam or in the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. However, there are reports also of it being on the 27th of Rajab, on the eve of the 27th of Rajab. But whatever night it was, the significant night was that night in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for Miraj. What we are doing is merely doing a revision of our lessons, or just trying to understand what Miraj was all about, or to recall those events which were miraculous. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was given many, many miracles, but some of the major ones, the one that was unique was this Miraj that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was blessed with. Now, it is not possible to discuss every aspect of Miraj in an hour or so. Although Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's Miraj did not take very much time, Allah Ta'ala made everything come to a standstill when he went for Miraj, because when he returned, the bed was still warm, the chain on the door was still moving, the water of wuzu, it was still dripping. So the muhaddiseen have said that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala brought the whole universe to a standstill, that within that little while Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made him undertake the whole journey. So although the incident of Miraj did not take very much time in the life of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the number of things that have been mentioned with regard to Miraj, if we have to discuss that, then it requires the whole night. That too won't be sufficient. So just to recap and just to recall some of those things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam witnessed in the night of Miraj, or what really happened. You have heard in the past, and there's plenty of literature also that is available, but since you have gathered to listen to something about Miraj, so Miraj Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam was blessed with, after those events in his life or those incidents which caused him a lot of pain, which caused him a lot of grief and a lot of sorrow, the three that are mentioned generally in the books of seerah is that Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the 10th year of his life, he had lost his beloved wife, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now this was that same Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha who was the first woman to accept Islam upon the hands of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she was the one that consoled him and comforted him when he returned from the cave of Hira, very worried, very excited, very disturbed, because of that appearance of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and that burden that was now being placed on his shoulder, that he was informed of his nubuwat. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam was a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala when Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was still between sand and water. Wa Adam bayn al ma'i wa tween. But it is just like how a child is a millionaire. But the father passed away and the child was just 1 year old. So the child doesn't know that it's a millionaire. It will only come to know when it will reach a certain age. So in the same way, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was given the nubuwwat long before anything else was created. But this information of his nubuwwat, or this crown of nubuwwat, was placed on his head in the cave of Hira. And that is where he was given this information now, that Allah Ta'ala has made you a Nabi. So Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, when he returned from the cave, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha comforts him, consoles him, and says, Kalla wallahi la yukhzika Allahu abada, innaka latasilu rahim wa tahmilu al-kal wa taksibu al-ma'adum wa tu'inu ala nawai bil-haq, aw kama qalat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now there's no time to go into those details, but she comforted him that when you got all these beautiful qualities, that you maintain a very good relationship with your family members, you carry the burden of others, you earn in fact for other people, that means from your earnings you give to those people who cannot really earn, and many details there are to it, you are extremely hospitable to your guests, and many other things he mentioned, and comforted Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that if all these things are in your life, Allah Ta'ala will never bring about any kind of humiliation and disgrace upon you. So you don't have to be so concerned that how will I be able to carry out this great responsibility of nubuwwat. Nevertheless, that is a different subject, but Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had sacrificed everything for Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam's comfort and for the sake of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's deen. She was a very rich widow merchant of Medina Tayyibah, of Makkah Mukarrama, but everything she sacrificed, and no other wife would have taken upon herself so much as Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha took upon herself for the sake of Islam. The 3 solid years or 3 years of boycotts and ostracism in Shaab ibn Abi Talib, where food was stopped, all relationship with the people that were there in the was all stopped. There was a total boycott of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his family. When the time came that they even had to chew the leather of shoes to survive. They had to even chew the leaves of trees to survive. And who is doing that? Not any sinful person. Not somebody that has disobeyed Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Those people that were there, each and every one of them, were in the company of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself. So it shows that suffering, trials, difficulties, hardships is not only because of sins. This was a test of their iman in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and it was a lesson for all times for the people to come till the day of Qiyamah, that in the cause of deen, if you have to suffer any hardship, any difficulty, any trial, then take consolation. Look at the life of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, that in the early days what kind of difficulties they went through. Afterwards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put the empires at their feet and gave them plentiful, both in this world, and Allah will give them in the hereafter. But at that time, when they were going through these difficulties, it was a test that those people who were accepting Islam, their acceptance of Islam was for no other purpose but for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. They truly and sincerely believe that Islam is the best of all religions, irrespective of what kind of trial and hardship we have to face. So it was not an easy thing for the munafiqeen or for any kind of hypocrite to just accept Islam just for some garland around his neck and to get some benefits that the Muslims were getting. Because here the only benefit at present what the Muslims were getting was that they were getting a hiding, they were getting lashing, they were getting beating, they were getting torture, and they were getting all kinds of suffering. So now who will accept Islam for all those type of trials? So it was to show of what concrete, or their iman was of what kind, or what level, and how concrete it was, that in spite of all the difficulties and trials, but they still said, Ahad, oh Allah is one. So Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, even at that time she didn't complain to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I was so rich, I was so wealthy, I had so much of slaves and servants and so much of gold and silver and so much of wealth and property, and I was leading such a comfortable life, and then what is this that has happened that I accepted Islam and I have to go through all these type of trials? You won't find anywhere any kind of mention of such kind of statement from anyone. That was the level of their iman. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took her away in this year. Now imagine what kind of sorrow, what kind of pain and what kind of grief it must be. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life partner has separated. And he did not marry also any other woman until Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was living. And yet she was 15 years his senior. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it shows that his marriage was not for lust and for passion. All his marriages after that also, they had great wisdom in it. But what can I do when suddenly my mind seems to go on a different line? But we come back again to what we were discussing. So Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she passes away. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his uncle Abu Talib, although he did not accept Islam, but he was also like a backbone. He was a support. And because of him, the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the Quraysh of Makkah, the disbelievers, they restrained themselves to a certain extent because of him and his position in society. But he too passed away in that year. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he had so many other losses in that year. That is why he called it the Amul Huzn, the year of grief. Without going into the details there, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam felt that now that these people are not prepared to accept Islam, let me go and try at Taif. So he went out to Taif. And who does not know what happened at Taif? The leaders of those tribes and clans, they rejected Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam totally. And if they had only rejected, that too we could have understood. But they put children and they put other people of low morals to stone and pelt him. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was pelted to such an extent again that his Mubarak shoes become filled with his Mubarak blood. How the angels must have witnessed that. You think Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was not having any kind of mercy on his beloved Nabi? But it was for our sake, so that we may appreciate that this Nabi of ours, he went through so much of suffering so that Islam and Iman may reach the corners of the globe. And so that tonight we may sit here also and take the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as believers in him. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, hurt, injured, he makes a dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala sends down the angels of the mountains and says, oh Nabi of Allah, if you desire, then we will crush these people between these mountains. Finish. After that, they will not be there anymore to cause you any suffering and pain. But what did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say? Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, give hidayat to my people, for they do not know. They haven't recognized me. They do not know who I am. If they had recognized me, they would not have done what they are doing. It is due to their ignorance. So oh Allah, give them hidayat. That is the trait of the true believers, that they make dua for hidayat. Those people who cause them injury and pain also, they make dua for hidayat. They are forgiving. They have a large heart. They are not out for revenge. So Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions were going through a very, very difficult and a trying period in their lives. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then sends the angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam with an invitation to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam and says that your Allah is now desirous of meeting you. Allah ta'ala is watching him, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is enjoying the tajalli of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But now Allah ta'ala extends an invitation to him to come up and meet him. Silver Volvo ND23398. You're obstructing somebody's driveway. Please remove your car urgently. 23398. Don't park in any person's driveway. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, they were going through very difficult times, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala now wanted to show him that what he has in store for those who have believed in him those who have obeyed him, and those who are making these sacrifices, what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has prepared for them. Because this world will come to an end. Life will come to an end. Brothers, if the brother hasn't gone as yet, please go quickly and remove your car. So this world will come to an end. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is showing now what he has got in Jannat for those who have believed, those who have obeyed, and what he has got in Jahannam, in the fire of hell, for those who have disobeyed. So that is a very brief background to this Mi'raj of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. With regards to the Mi'raj itself, if we just have to just list some of the things that happened, because most of you are aware and familiar with whatever had happened in the night of Mi'raj, or to some extent. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was in the house of Hani. The roof split open. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came down with another two angels. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was taken through there and brought to the Haram Sharif. I have explained in talks in the past that this whole process of taking him out through a split in the roof was to show that very soon there will be a very strange incident that will take place, but there is nothing to be fearful, because that Allah who can cause that roof to join again after having split it, in the same way you do not have to be worried. This chest of yours which will be split open, and that heart which will be removed, it will not cause you any injury and pain. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is showing that there will be his Qudrat that will come to the fore. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he is taken to the Hatim, and there his chest is opened and the heart is removed, and a tray which was brought from Jannat, a golden tray, or tray made of gold, because it can be golden color. We can use certain things here which are made in golden color, but it is not permissible for the men folk to use anything of gold, and for both men and women to use dishes or any utensil of pure gold. In this world it's not permissible. Women can use gold jewelry, etc., but when it comes to utensils, and especially for the men folk, watch bands and cuffs and other things which are made of pure gold, it is not permissible in this world. Now that tray which was brought by the angels. And also this happened in Makkah Mukarramah when the laws were not yet formulated. So obedience to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will mean that we must restrain ourselves. What does it matter if we use other items? Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that they brought a utensil, a vessel in which there was a liquid which was of iman and hikmah. Now we couldn't have had iman without the iman of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and there was nobody had more hikmah than Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's hikmah. So what it means here, that it was fortified because this was now going to be a journey above the seven heavens. And I've explained also in the past that we have different kind of fuels for different kinds of engines. We will not use the same fuel that we use in our trucks in those spaceships. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was undertaking a different kind of journey. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent this to fortify his heart so that he can take that journey, and also he will have the power to see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because Allah ta'ala, when he just cast his tajalli on the mountain split to smithereens for Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. When Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam requested that, "I want to see you with my eyes," Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, "You cannot see me. But look at that mountain." When he looked that side, the mountain was all in smithereens. And as Musa alayhi salatu wasalam also fell down unconscious. So here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was giving Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that power to see him. These angels then the buraq was brought. Now this buraq is from barq, most, because its speed was that of lightning. It was bigger than a donkey and smaller than a mule, and it was white in color, and it was that transport which was used for Nabis of the past also. And when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was being taken on this buraq, then 70,000 angels were also escorting him along. What a beautiful scene it must have been, Look at Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that on the one hand He is giving Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam such kind of welcome that 70,000 angels have been sent to bring him. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, there are many things that happened, but from there they went to Masjid al-Aqsa. Now it was called Masjid al-Aqsa because it was a distant place, it was furthest away from Makkah Mukarramah. If a person had to go in those days, it took about 40 days to reach Masjid al-Aqsa. On camel it took about 40 days. So that is why it was called the furthest most. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Subhanallazi asra bi'abdihi laylam minal masjidil haram ilal masjidil aqsa. Glory be to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is free of any kind of deficiency and weakness. He's all powerful, He's almighty, and He can do whatever He wills. So therefore you should not have any kind of doubt that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala took His servant in a part of the night from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Haram here means the respected, the honored. So Masjid al-Haram is that masjid which is around the Kaaba Sharif, or sometimes it is referred to the whole of Makkah, the Haram of Makkah Sharif. So he says it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who took him in this little part of the night. So the journey from Kaaba Sharif, from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, that is called Isra, a journey by night. Same one. Red Ilantara 456, 424, and Conquest 305, NUR. Please remove your cars. 456, 424, and NUR 305. So this journey from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, that is called Isra. Now this is proven from the Quran Sharif. And the Miraj is from the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Summa urija bi. So this coming up to Masjid al-Aqsa, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was accompanied by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And when they arrived at Masjid al-Aqsa, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tied his camel, or the burak was tied to a stone. A hole was made in one big rock, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tied the burak there. Now this I have explained before also, that the burak was not going to run away. It was an animal that was brought from Jannat, and Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was with, so there was no question of the burak leaving Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and running away. Then why did he tie it to that stone? It shows that we are in a world of means. So we make use of the means that Allah Ta'ala has created, but we trust in Allah Ta'ala. Our alarm systems, our burglar guards, our security and everything that we do, it is a means. It gives us some kind of comfort that we've got a security, we've got this, we've got that. But our trust must not be in it. We tie the camel and then we trust in Allah Ta'ala. That here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching the ummah that you make use of the means, that this is one of the means of making the camel or the horse or whatever animal it is tied, or it's a means of safeguarding it from running away. But it was not necessary that it was going to, it was a lesson for the ummah that we are in a world of means, so we make use of the means. If we have to go for jihad, if a person goes to the battlefield, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam demonstrated in his own life that there was training also. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself put the coat of arms. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went into the battlefield prepared. Although he had seen the angels in the battle of Badr assisting and helping, and victory came, but when he went to the battle of Uhud, he didn't say that because we saw the angels in the battle of Badr, so no preparation is required now. Put all your equipment and military uniform and all your coat of arms and swords and everything away. We will just go there and we'll make dua that the angels must come down. He is teaching us that we must make use of the means that Allah Ta'ala has created. But our problem is that when we make use of the means, we get such trust in those means that we forget the giver of those means or the provider of those means. We forget Allah Ta'ala himself. And we think that because we've adopted this means, so now definitely we are protected. Whereas if Allah Ta'ala does not will, then we can have whatever kind of security we wish to, the person will still die. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he went into the masjid, and there all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the 124,000 Nabis had all gathered there. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made them appear there in body and soul. Now this is all the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. He who created us for the first time, what is it difficult for him to do so again? So if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala retained the bodies of the Nabis in the graves, because the grave it is haram for it to eat up or consume the bodies of the Nabis, and then Allah Ta'ala gave another body to the soul and made them all appear there in the masjid, then what is it difficult to understand? And also those days it must have become a very big problem for them to understand that how can the heart be removed and be replaced. But in these days it's one big joke. Also the speed also of the buraq, in those days they could have had a problem understanding it. But the speed of communication that we have these days, it is extremely easy to understand. So science is making it easy for us to understand all these miracles. The very thing that they were rejecting, now they are saying that it is possible, this is possible, this is possible. So we must be grateful to science that it is making it easy for us to now even explain these things. Now all we have to say that, don't you know, haven't you heard of somebody or the other having a heart transplant, or having his chest open, the heart removed and replaced? And it becomes so simple. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala there in Masjid-e-Aqsa, 124,000 Anbiya, they made namaz behind Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The azan was given, as a Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam caught the hand of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and made him the imam. To show to the world that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was not only the Nabi for the people of this world. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Imamul Anbiya, Nabi of all the Nabis. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he had the highest stage. Ba'das khuda buzruk tu'i qissa mukhtasar. After Allah, you are the greatest, qissa mukhtasar. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam makes the imamat. We have also on the way Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or after he came out, he was given to drink. In one tumbler there was wine, in another tumbler there was milk, in another hadith it comes that there was also honey in the third one. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam chose milk. So Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have chosen fitra, something that is natural nature. We know that the first nourishment of the baby is milk. Generally that is the nourishment. Milk is what nourishes the child's body and the child grows. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that you chose fitra. If you had chosen wine, then your ummah would have gone astray. The ummah would have gone astray. From this it is deduced that the Nabi to the ummah, just as the Nabi is to the ummah, in the same way the father is to the children, or the parents are to the children. That if the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had to adopt something which would have caused him, as Hazrat Jibreel say, to go astray, of course there was no question there of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam or any Nabi going astray, but it was just an indication that if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had taken that which he would never have taken, then the ummah would have gone astray. So if the parents are going astray, then they are the means and the cause of the children also going astray. Generally we are talking about, in general terms, that if we have to look at our condition and we have to look at our complaints about our children, then we must first look at ourselves, that what kind of role models are we to our children? What do we do in our homes? What we do in our lives? Which are the places that we are frequenting? What is the type of literature that we are reading? What kind of programs we are watching? What kind of videotapes our children are exposed to every day of their lives in our own homes, which the father, the mother, the children, the grandparents, the sisters, the grandmothers all sit and watch together. So we must look at ourselves before we start complaining, my child is gone on drugs, my child is gone on wine, and my child is gone to the casinos and to the and to the rave clubs, and my son is gone here and son is gone there, before we start complaining, first look at our own lives. We just don't want to get rid of sins from our own lives, and we are pointing fingers everywhere else. Our nafs has overpowered us. Therefore, what we need is a transplant of our own hearts. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de, badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de, badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de, khuda ya fazl farma dil badal de, khuda ya fazl farma dil badal de. You're saying, oh Allah, change this heart of mine, which is overpowered by greed, by lust, by passions, by evil desires, and all kinds of filthy thoughts and ideas. Change it. Oh Allah, you have given man that intelligence to do heart transplants. So, oh Allah, give me a heart transplant also. Transplant a heart filled with your love, with your muhabbat, with your ishq, and with the ishq and muhabbat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam to Masjid Aqsa on the Burak. He goes there. And after that, he said that a lift was brought. Now that lift was so beautiful that one step was of gold, one of silver, and there was also pearls that were embedded in there. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam stood on there and the lift went up. Now again this, imagine 1400 years ago, when they did not have any kind of elevator anywhere around. To go on to the back of the camel also, they had to put something there and then climb. But they never saw any elevator. Now for people to understand this, and for years or hundreds of years after that, it was difficult that how can a person suddenly go so high from the earth, next thing is in the skies. But today with all our spaceships and other modes of elevation, we know how a person within seconds he can be right up. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was brought this lift. He put his feet onto it and it went up. Now in the company of those 70,000 angels, as Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and now they are going up. Now there are many things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam reported, which is that we don't have the time to go into the details. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, just to give you some incidents from here and there, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, when he came up to the first heaven, then the door was open. But before it was opened, it was tapped by the Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. He was asked, who is it? He said, Jibreel. Who is with you? He said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Was he invited? Yes. The door was open and they were welcomed. Now all this was to show the greatness of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because if you have got a big place where the door is wide open and the guests are just coming in and out, so there is no speciality. Now this was to show it's a special guest of honor who is coming, that this door was never opened for anybody like that before. Now we say that how was it that he had to tap at the door and all these type of things occurred, whereas we can see that the spaceships are going up to the moon and up to Mars and so many other places. So this again I have explained many times, that all these planets and everything else are below the first heaven. Man hasn't even reached anywhere near the first heaven. The moon is only 240,000 miles away. The light travels at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. So how long does it take to reach the moon? But yet we say that there are stars which are billions of years away. They say themselves that stars are billions of years away, and light is traveling at 186,000 miles per second, and they're saying these stars are billions of years away. So how many years it's going to still take them to reach those stars? After that will come the first heaven. So we are nowhere near that. So this is the first heaven that we are talking about. We're not talking about the skies. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam there meets Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam on the first heaven, and the reason for that is Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is the first Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and the first man on earth. And it is to indicate to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam's place was in heaven and he had to come down to the earth. So just as he had to leave his place and come down, in the same way these people who are your enemies and they are going to force you out from Makkah Mukarramah, and you will have to make hijrat and go to Madinah Tayyibah. So just as Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam will be returned to the heaven again, so therefore you do not have to worry, Allah Ta'ala will bring you back to Makkah Sharif, He will give you conquest of Makkah Sharif, and you will become dominant. Everybody will accept Islam. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is given that consolation. If he had to tell them at that time, they will say, but how? We are seeing that we are beaten, we are being punished, we are being tortured, and here you are saying that we will be conquering Makkah Sharif. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is showing that meet Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Then in the second heaven, there he meets Hazrat Isa and Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. Now these people were troubled by the Jews. Endless problem was given to them. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being shown that these two Nabis of mine, they were troubled by the Jews. You too, when you are going to go to Medina Sharif, then you will see the same kind of problems that the Jews are going to give you in Medina Sharif. But just as Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala finally gave them victory, in the same way you too will be given victory over them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in the third heaven he meets Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So there Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's meeting was significant, that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was troubled by his brothers. Out of jealousy they got rid of him, separated him from his father, they threw him into the well. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is shown that don't worry. Just as Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was taken out by his brothers and troubled because of jealousy, so your family members also of the Quraysh tribe, they too, due to jealousy, envy, they are going to trouble you. But look at what happened to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, that afterwards he was raised to the position of king of Egypt. And these same brothers had to come there and ask for forgiveness. And what did Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam say? La tasriba alaykum al-yawm. No reproach upon you today. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also goes through the same kind of situation, that he leaves from Makkah Mukarramah in a very weak position outwardly. But from Makkah Madina Tayyibah again he comes, and Makkah Mukarramah is conquered. And then those same people are asking Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for forgiveness. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, I will tell you the same thing that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam told. La tasriba alaykum al-yawm. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam meets Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. After that Hazrat Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now there are so many reasons for all these things which I'm not going to discuss. The time is short. But Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was resting against the Baitul Ma'mur. And 70,000 angels make tawaf of the Baitul Ma'mur. They go into it. Just as we have the Kaaba Sharif on the ground, the Baitul Ma'mur is the Kaaba Sharif of the angels. And the 70,000 that make each day, they don't get another opportunity. So we can imagine how much of angels Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has got. It is His army, Allah Ta'ala's forge. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam meets Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allama Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi has stated that there were five types of transport that were used for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. One was the buraq from Makkah Mukarramah to Masjid Aqsa. From there it was the lift. After that it was the wings of the angels up to Sidratul Muntaha, till the seventh heaven. And from there till the Sidratul Muntaha on the wing of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And from Sidratul Muntaha to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on Rafraf. Different forms of transport to show His greatness. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, then he is taken to Sidratul Muntaha. Sidratul Muntaha is the load tree which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the beauty of that cannot be described. The noor that was covering it, or when it was enshrouded, and the beauty of it, the splendor of it, says it cannot be described by any person. And that is the ending point of all the ahkam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When it comes first, it comes to the Sidratul Muntaha, and from there it comes down. And when the amal go up, they go to the Sidratul Muntaha, and from there they go up. Sidratul Muntaha par jo pahunche nabi, Sidratul Muntaha par jo pahunche nabi, sar jhuka kar ye Jibril kehne lage. Sidratul Muntaha par jo pahunche Nabi sar jhuka kar ye Jibril kehne lage Ya Habibe Khuda ab siwa aapke isse aage jo jayega jal jayega. When they reached Sidratul Muntaha, then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, O Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, after this whosoever goes further, then he will burn. Brothers, this Noor Conquest 305, you haven't removed your car as yet, please go and remove your car. NUR 305. So he says, after Sidratul Muntaha, no person will be able to go any further. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam also says, I cannot even go any further. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam comes to the presence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as soon as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sight falls on his countenance, he says he was taken through 70,000 veils of Noor, and he was enshrouded with Noor, and then taken through 70,000 veils of Noor. When he came to the presence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he said, At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. All my oral ibadat, all my physical ibadat, and all my monetary ibadat, solely for you, O my beloved Allah. He said, whatever I went through, whatever difficulties, trials, hardships, whatever ibadat I made, whatever charities, whatever service to mankind, whatever service to your deen, anything and everything that I did, whether it was oral, monetary or physical, everything, O Allah, for you. Teaching the ummah a lesson that there must be ikhlas in our a'mal. If we get ikhlas and sincerity in our a'mal, then we will get the closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then we will get ma'rifat. Then we will get the sifat of ihsan. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is showing to the ummah that everything, he's telling Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, everything of Allah was for you. And there was no question of any lies. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever he was saying was the truth and nothing but the truth. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when he saw that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave this beautiful presentation, I mentioned in one of my talks of Miraj some time back, that nobody could have made such a beautiful presentation in just three words to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Just imagine if we were told that you will be having a meeting with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and you have to make some kind of a presentation, we would have been writing one whole book and giving our whole life history. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in just three words, At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wa-t-tayyibat. All my oral ibadat for Allah, my physical ibadat for Allah, and my monetary ibadat for Allah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala immediately replies, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, all this is for you, O Allah. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. No matter how many times we have heard this, but every time that I say it, I get a kind of an enjoyment. I get a kind of... Just picture it, where the Rasul of Allah is and what he is saying to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah has given us imagination, which we use for so many haram things. Somewhere where no man has reached and will never be able to reach, the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is there. And he is shrouded in so much of Noor, and there he is making this presentation to Allah ta'ala. At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wat-tayyibat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. Peace be upon you, salamati on you, O my beloved Nabi. Wa rahmatullah, and the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Wa barakatuh, and his blessings. Everything that a person could wish for, everything and anything that a person could wish for of the best is covered in these three things. If we have to just give an explanation of Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh, anything and everything of this world and the akhirat that a person can wish for, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives it to him. Showing that you do not have to be so concerned, all these trials, they will soon come to an end. But Allah is with you. In those difficulties, in those hardships, in those problems, Allah Ta'ala is with you. So therefore, He is giving you also the strength to bear it. If Allah Ta'ala is with a person, if it is a form of a trial that the person is facing, his sickness, his disease, his ill health, his poverty, some kind of torture he may be going through, he may be imprisoned by the enemies, and he may be whipped and persecuted. But if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is putting him through a test, then Allah ta'ala is the one who gives him the sabr to overcome that test. It is not easy for those brothers of ours who are in Cuba, languishing in those prisons, which are cages of torture and nothing else. But they are not giving up their Islam, they are not giving up their Iman. What is it? It's Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who is giving them that strength to bear it. Otherwise, by now, so many of them would have forsaken their religion also. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when He sends a thing as a test, then He gives us the sabr also over it. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, even at that height and even in that state, but what He says, As-salamu alayk, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Ya Allah, I know You have given me a great gift, but I don't want this salamati just for myself. I am not miserly. I am not selfish. I want that this salamati must be for my ummah until the day of Qiyamah. Those who are the righteous servants of Yours, ibadillahi salihin, the righteous servants of Yours, they must also enjoy peace, they must also enjoy Your mercy, they must also have Your forgiveness and Your barakat and Your rahmat. So that is the solution to the problem of the ummah today. We all are just talking about solution to problems. We will never ever find solution to the problems until we get, or we become of the ibad who are salihin. Now that is something that is written. We have to become of the righteous servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then it is promised that you will get peace too. You will get Allah's mercy also. And you will get blessings and barakat in everything too. Otherwise we will not get it, no matter where we search for it. We don't want to become of the righteous servants of Allah Ta'ala. We just want to solve our problem with ta'weezes. Person has 6 televisions in his home, 7 televisions in his home. Big ones to which they cannot even remove easily. And then they say, Jinnat is troubling. And some devils are troubling. And there's a lot of fear. And children are getting up with a fright. So give some ta'weez. Now we got in every room the big devils. How will the ta'weez help? It's not going to help. But our nafs is such that we just don't want to understand that we are harming ourselves. We are chopping our own legs. So the solution is this. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Salamati be on us, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, and also on your righteous servants. Anyone until the day of Qiyamah, if he's your righteous servant, then he is promised that he will get peace, he will get barakat, he will get rahmat. Irrespective of the outside conditions, as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the outside condition was something very different. But inside his heart and inside the hearts of the sahaba ikram radiallahu anhu ajma'in, there was such a kind of noor, ocean of noor that was flowing. Such contact with Allah Ta'ala, such sukoon, such peace, such contentment. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then gave Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam the gift of 50 salah. Now, you all are aware of that it was given in the night of Miraj. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, my ummah can't make 2 salat. Where will your ummah make 50? So go back again. So he went, came, reduced it by 5, came again, went back until it came to 5 salat. So originally it was 50. Then the zero was removed and was left with five. But then Allah Ta'ala says that for each one I will increase the reward by 10 times. So if you make 5 salat, you get 50 times sawab again. So the same thing again. The zero was put back there for sawab. Now this namaz again, to become of the righteous servants of Allah, the most important thing in a person's life is his salat. If the whole ummah today comes on salat, then see what a difference it will make. And salat also of a kind that really gets us connected with Allah Ta'ala. Not the type of salat that we read, but even that salat, I keep saying that don't throw the blanket away, throw the bug away. Our salat has been bugged with so much of filth, filthy thoughts which we bring from the outside. So now get rid of that and read namaz with khushu and khuzu and ask Allah Ta'ala. Now this is the way that Allah Ta'ala gave to draw his help. Istaeenu bis sabri was salat. Seek the help of Allah Ta'ala with sabr and with salat. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, one woman came to him and she said, I committed a terrible sin. I am making tawbah for it, but I want you also to make tawbah. But it's a terrible sin and I don't think anybody has committed a sin like that, but I want you to make tawbah. Ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive me. So he said, but what is the sin? She said that I committed adultery. After that, a child was born, so I murdered that child also. So that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said, get away from here, get away from here. I don't want the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to come. What a terrible sin you have committed. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent wahi to him. Said, oh Isa, is this the worst of all sin that is in your sight? He said, well, whatever, what can be worse than that? He said, that person who neglects his salat. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, that person who neglects his salat, and yet there were only 2 salat in his time, but he said the person who neglects his salat, then he has committed a sin worse than that. Now we can imagine how important salat is, which we just take it to be one big joke, that if we get the time we make it, if we don't get the time, or because we are in a wedding or in a walima or at some hall or some other function, so now if Allah gives tawfiq, then at night we will go and make qaza of all the namazes. So where do we expect the rahmat to then come from? Now look at all the hadiths in the fazail of salat and see how much of rewards are promised on salat and how much of warning to those people who neglect the salat. They will be raised with Qarun, Fir'aun, Haman, Shaddad. Now these type of enemies of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, these bare namazis will be rising with them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says it is the dividing line between kufr and iman. Man tarakaha faqad taraka ad-deen, wa man aqamaha faqad aqama ad-deen. Brothers, is the person in the masjid Silver Conquest NUR305? This is the third time we are making this announcement. If you are here, please go and remove your car. But if he's not here, then we can't do anything. Somebody inform that person that the person who's owning this car is not here in this masjid. So this is the dividing line, that the person, if he doesn't make salat, then it is as if he has committed kufr. He has destroyed the pillar of Islam. And many times I have mentioned that Hazrat Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jalani rahmatullah alayhi is a Hanbali. And Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jalani rahmatullah alayhi, he says that if a person neglects his salat, then he has indeed committed kufr. It's not just some act of kufr. He says he has committed kufr. The person must read kalima again. If he does not make salat without a valid reason, he neglects it, then he must read kalima again. And if he has to die in that condition without salat in his life, then don't even bury him in the graveyard of the Muslim. Now that's what he says. We must be grateful to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, that he says that no, what it means is that he has committed an act similar to that of the kuffar, that they don't make namaz. Nevertheless, it is such a serious matter. One salat a person misses, it is as if he has lost his property, his children and everything. And not only that if the person doesn't make salat with jamaat and he doesn't have any valid reason, he's fit, he's healthy, he's not sick or he's not on a journey or something of that nature, Then look at the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What does he say? That if they don't come for Jamaat, then I feel like burning their homes. Now that rahmatul lil alameen feels like burning our homes. So then it will burn. So all the destruction that's coming upon the ummah, we have to look at it, where is it coming from and why is it coming. If the person has got no esteem left in the sight of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is as if the person is already committing kufr. Those homes in which there is no namaz, just imagine what is the condition of those homes then. So then if there is destruction of, then it is we who are inviting it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown people whose lips were very big, like that of camels, but scissors of fire was cutting those lips. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, who are these people? He said, they are the talkers of your ummah, those who give talks, speeches at conferences, in the masjids and in so many other places. And they create division, disunity, cracks, and they make people fight and create fitnas. So this is their punishment. And another place is mentioned that they are those people who say, but they do not practice. That what they say, they all say that the solution to the problems of the Muslim Ummah, when they are talking on radio stations and talking in conferences and talking in other kind of conventions, then each and every speaker will say the solution to the problems of the Muslim Ummah is the Quran and the Sunnah. And then look in that same convention and that same hall, how much of Quran and Sunnah is there. The Quran says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believers that they must lower their gaze. And now there, what is happening? So these are the speakers of your ummah who will be giving a lot of speeches, but they don't make any amal on it. People were shown that they are cutting their own flesh, and after that they are made to eat that flesh. So these are the people who used to be gossiping, making ghibat of other people. So now they are made to eat their own flesh. Two pots in one pot, very nice, beautiful, full of aroma, well-cooked meat, and in the other one, filthy, decaying, rotten, spoilt meat. And the angels are taking that rotten, filthy, dirty, spoilt meat and forcing it down the throats of those people. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked that, who are these people? These are the people who were given wives which were halal, but they used to leave their wives and they used to go for those haram prostitutes, or they used to go for haram adultery, fornication. So this is the condition of that person that is going to be when he comes here in the akhirat. He is being shown that this is going to be their condition. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is shown people with huge bellies, and from the outside you can see snakes all wriggling around in those huge bellies. So that these are the people who should take interest. They take interest. So on the day of Qiyamah, this is going to be their punishment. People very short, and mountains are crushing them. They come right again, and again the mountain crushes them. So these are the people who are full of pride and arrogance, that there's no one like us. So this is the punishment of that. People whose heads were being smashed and crushed with stones and rocks, it comes right again and is being crushed again. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that these are the people, when the time of namaz used to be to come, then their heads used to get very heavy. They were not prepared to make salat. They couldn't get up for Fajr Salat. So this is going to be their punishment. So many things he was shown. And he informed the ummah that this is what I was shown. On the other hand, in Jannat, the beautiful gardens of Jannat, the lakes of Jannat, the fruits of Jannat, the trees of Jannat, the hoors of Jannat, the utensils of Jannat, so many things he described. Now after listening to all that, what should be our condition? That if we have gathered here to learn about Mi'raj, then at least the first thing we should do is to make a pledge to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that as from now on, we will not make one namaz qaza in our lives. Let us make that himmat. Let us take that courage. Irrespective of where we are, what is the condition? And there's so much of flexibility also. It's not that it is hard and fast that 1 o'clock is Zuhr, so you have to make it at 1 o'clock. If a person is on a journey, or is in some other place where there's no masjid around, or no Jamaat Khana nearby, then he can make the namaz. There's so much of time for Zuhr, there's so much of time between Maghrib and Isha, between Fajr and Zuhr, Fajr and Subh and the sunrise. Within that period of time, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made it so easy. For the women folk also, it's so easy to make the salat. And how long does it take? Just a few minutes. And in fact, then when the people are going to look at us at the factories, at the industries and in our workplaces, that this person, no matter what happens, that suddenly he looks at his watch and after that he's dashing, he makes some ablution and he made some 4 rakat of namaz and came away. If you don't make the nafil namazes at such a time, at least if you make the farz and the sunnati muakkada, that too is sufficient. And it takes hardly a few minutes. But then we will become examples also. So that is the first thing that we should be doing, is making a pledge to Allah Ta'ala that as from now on, whatever comes, happens, but we are going to make our namaz on time. And if the person starts making his namaz on time, then he'll be concerned about his taharat. Then he'll be concerned that he must stay pak also. Then that will be a protection from many other sins also. That when the person is concerned that my clothes must stay pak, because I have to make another namaz just now, and then another namaz. So now this will be also a protection against so many other kinds of sins of the eyes and of the heart and of the mind, especially where there's so much of intermingling. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq. There's so much that we can discuss, but as I said, that it is not possible within 1 hour to talk about Mi'raj. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the himmat and the courage to take lessons from the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's Mi'raj and get connected with him. Namaz is the Mi'raj of the believers. Just as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made Mi'raj, our Mi'raj is Salat. As-salatu Mi'rajul Mu'mineen. His heart was washed with Zamzam, we make wuzu. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا راحم المساكين ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, oh my Kareem Allah, oh my most forgiving Allah, O my compassionate, kind, loving, caring Allah, forgive each and every one of us. O my beloved Allah, we are extending these begging bowls before you. You have attached these begging bowls to our bodies so that we may beg of you any part of the day or night. O my beloved Allah, we are confessing before you. Indeed, we are your sinful servants. Day and night we have sinned. O my Allah, we use every ni'mat, every bounty of yours for your disobedience. You provide the food, you give us clothing, you give us shelter. O Allah, you are giving us health, you are giving us wealth. You are causing our heart, liver and lungs all to function. O Allah, you are blessing us with sight, with hearing, with speech. Ha, Mirab. O my beloved Allah, how much of your ni'mats we use. Every second we are making use of your ni'mats. And yet we are disobedient to you. Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us. You dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners when they turn towards you with repentance. Ya Allah, we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. Oh Allah, we are not bragging about our sins. We are not justifying our sins. Ya Allah, we are acknowledging each and every sin of ours. Ya Allah, you are well aware of every movement of ours. Ya Allah, if there is a tiny little black ant that is crawling on a pitch black rock in the darkest of the darkest of all nights, if you are aware of the movement of that ant, how can you not be aware of our movements? Ya Allah, you could have brought humiliation, disgrace. You could have brought, oh Allah, destruction upon us when we indulged in sins. Ya Allah, you could have caused us to become paralyzed when we committed adultery or fornication, or when we picked up the bottle of wine in our hands, or when we popped the drugs into our mouths. Oh Allah, you could have caused us to become paralyzed. You could have brought about humiliation and suffering upon us. But oh Allah, how merciful you are, how forgiving you are, that in spite of our sins, you are giving us so much to eat, to drink, and to wear. Ay Allah, therefore we are asking you to forgive each and every one of us. Forgive our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, and the entire ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ay Allah, puri ummat e muslima ki maghfirat kar de. Ay Allah, bless each and everyone in the ummat with maghfirat. Bless each and everyone with your rahmat. Bless each and everyone with salamati and peace. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, oh my most forgiving Allah, open the doors of your forgiveness for us. Open the doors of your maghfirat for us. Open the doors of your rahmat for us. Ya Allah, we have constructed umbrellas of steel above our heads. The umbrellas of sin we have made, oh Allah. We do not want to be drenched in the rahmat rains of yours. But oh Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Ya Allah, there was no such thing as darkness for you. When we were committing sins, we looked right, left, that nobody was watching us. We drew the curtains of the hotel rooms and the curtains of our homes. And then we watched all the evil and all the haram. And we thought that nobody was watching us. Ya Allah, but you are watching everything that we are doing. You hear everything that we speak. Ya Allah, we are asking you for forgiveness of our major sins and minor sins. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Oh Allah, the sins of our eyes. Ya Allah, what a great ni'mat you have blessed us with, that is the sight. Oh Allah, those who do not have sight, they appreciate what sight is all about. Ya Allah, we can see our way through to the bazaars, marketplaces. We can drive our cars. We can see the colors of everything. Oh Allah, we can see the faces of our family members and our friends. Ya Allah, this great ni'mat of sight, we have abused it so much. Ya Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, the sins of our ears, the sins of our hands and feet, the sins of our heart and mind. Oh my beloved Allah, bless each and everyone with long life, with good health. We are sick and ailing, O my beloved Allah. Bless us with good health. We are sick and ailing, O my beloved Allah. Bless us with good health. Those who are in hospitals, give them good health. Those who are sick and ailing at home, O Allah, give them good health. Ya Allah, whosoever is sick in the ummah, give them good health. Ya Allah, bless us with spiritual health and physical health. Ya Allah, those who are in financial difficulties and problems, remove their difficulties and problems. Ya Allah, those who have got no children, bless them with pious and righteous children. Those who are suffering depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who are weak, give them strength. Oh my beloved Allah, bless each and every one of us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with the noor of taqwa. Fill our hearts with the noor of zuhad. Fill our hearts with the noor of qanaat. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with the noor of yaqeen. Ya Allah, bless us all with your marifat, with your muhabbat. We trust and faith in you, O my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, we are your sinful servants. But if you have to turn away your glance of rahmat from us because of our sins, O my beloved Allah, if you have to turn away your glance of rahmat from us, your glance of mercy from us, then, O Allah, which other door is there for us that we can tap? Which other home is there for us that we can go and beg? Who else is there, oh my beloved Allah, besides you? Ya Allah, there is no support for us besides your support. Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Ey mere pyare khuda, because of our sins, don't turn away your glance of rahmat. For we have no one besides you, oh my beloved Allah. Mere pyare Allah, forgive the entire ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ay Allah, if you have to seize us on our sins, we will face destruction in this world and in the akhirat. Ya Allah, you dearly love forgiveness. You don't like punishing. Oh Allah, you dearly love forgiveness. Oh my beloved Allah, therefore we are seeking from you a purification of our hearts. Ya Allah, purify it of envy and jealousy, of malice and greed. Oh Allah, purify it of evil passions and desires. Purify it of arrogance. Ya Allah, give us a life of honesty. Give us a life of sincerity. Give us a life of piety. Give us a life of taqwa. Ya Allah, give us such a connection and a bond with you and your beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you and your Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, give us such a bond. Oh Allah, make us like the fish that swims deep down in the ocean. Ya Allah, make us this fish that swims deep down in your ocean of marifat. Ey mere pyare khuda, is dunya ko chhod kar jana hai. We have to leave this world. Allah, daily we are making janaza salats. We are shouldering janazas. Ya Allah, we are seeing how people are leaving this world from different areas, different homes and different places. Ya Allah, so many young, fit, healthy people are suddenly departing from this world. Ya Allah, an accident takes them away. A shooting takes them away. Ay mere pyare khuda, we too don't know when our death will come, where it will come, and how it will come. How can then we be in haram places? Ya Allah, so many people have died in cinemas, in discos, in theaters. So many have died at prostitute quarters. Allah, so many have died in adultery and fornication. Allah, whole hotels have disappeared from the surface of the earth, in which plenty of adultery and fornication was being committed. Oh Allah, earthquakes took them away. Mere pyare khuda, therefore don't let the angel of death visit us in any disco or cinema or theater. Don't let the angel of death find us in adultery or fornication. Don't let the angel of death find us, oh my beloved Allah, in any kind of haram action, with a bottle of wine in our hands or with drugs in our mouths. Ey mere pyare khuda, give us the himmat, give us the courage. Ya Allah, we are extremely weak servants of yours, but give us the courage and the himmat to give up sins in our lives. Ya Allah, give us that enjoyment in ibadat, in zikr, in tilawat, that oh Allah, that the hatred of sins come into our hearts. Put the love of good deeds and the hatred of sins into our hearts. Oh my beloved Allah, give us a taste of your qurb, of your marifat, of your yaqeen. Ya Allah, give us an enjoyment of your qurb and your marifat. Ey mere pyare khuda, Rasool Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made dua for the ummah his entire life. He did not even forget us in the night of Miraj. Ey Allah, when he was so close to you, even there he said, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Oh Allah, make us of your righteous servants. We are extremely weak, oh my Allah. Nafs and shaitan have overpowered us, oh my Allah. But give us the himmat to throw out of our lives and our homes every filth that has entered our. Ey mere pyare khuda, Rasool Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for the ummat. Allah, all the goodness that he asked for us, bless us with that goodness. Bless our parents with that goodness, our wives and children with that goodness, and the entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief and corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, oh Allah, protect the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, the enemies of Islam have all gathered. Oh Allah, they have got just one intention, to destroy the Muslim ummah. Mere pyare khuda, but we have destroyed the ummah ourselves first. They have only stepped in afterwards. We have sliced the ummah into so many different sections. Amen. Allah, unite the hearts of brothers and sisters, of parents and children, of wives and husbands. Amen. Pyare khuda, unite the hearts of the entire Muslim ummah. Ay Allah, give hidayat to those who are the enemies of Islam. Ay Allah, those who are bent on the destruction of the Muslim ummah, give them hidayat as you gave to those kuffar and mushrikeen in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they became radiyallahu anhum wa radwan. But oh Allah, if they have become obstinate and they have made up their minds that they will never ever accept Islam and they will cause destruction of the ummah, then destroy them like you destroyed the Aad and Samud. Ay Allah, shake the ground beneath their feet. Cause the planes to crash, O Allah. Send gale force winds against them. Send the flood waters against them. O Allah, they have made millions of people homeless. Ya Allah, you to shake up the ground beneath their feet. Ya Allah, destroy them as you destroyed the Aad and Samud. Ya Allah, assist the Mujahideen of Islam. Allah, that Masjid Al-Aqsa from which the Miraj of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took place. Allah, it is in the hands of the Yahudis today. Mere pyare khuda, we require so many different kinds of permits and other things just to go to Masjid Al-Aqsa. Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's miraj took place from there. Ya Allah, give Masjid Al-Aqsa back to the hands of the Muslim Ummah. Ay Allah, protect Palestine. Ay Allah, assist and help the Mujahideen of Palestine. Ya Allah, assist and help the Mujahideen of Palestine. Ya Allah, our sisters, our brothers, our little children upon whom bombs are raining. Very Allah, either give hidayat to these enemies, give hidayat to these zalims, oh Allah, destroy them like you destroyed the Aad and Samud. Very Allah, give hidayat to the entire Muslim ummah also. Ya Allah, make us all make namaz 5 times a day. Ya Allah, fast in Ramadan, give zakat if due, go for Hajj if farz. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to restrain ourselves from adultery, from fornication, from taking of interest, from gambling, and from all kinds of haram deeds and actions. Ya Allah, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his Hajjatul Wida, every way he made dua for us. Ya Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after kissing the Hajr-e Aswad, the dua that he made. Allah, with his 124,000 companions, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ne Hajr-e Aswad ko chum karke jo manga tha, rukne yawari chu karke jo manga tha, ay Allah, mataf mein chal kar jo manga tha, hatim mein namazay pad kar jo manga tha, ay Allah, he attached himself to the multazam for so long. Oh, my beloved Allah, his ihram became wet with his tears. Who was he crying for, oh by Allah? Ya Allah, we have shown no appreciation for his blood which flowed in Taif. Ya Allah, we showed no appreciation for his blood which flowed in Uhud. Ya Allah, 3 solid years of boycott and ostracism, until they had to chew leather of shoes. Oh my beloved Allah, they had to chew leather of animals. They had to chew the leaves of trees to survive. Ya Allah, your beloved stands whole night in prayer until his feet swells. Lekin humne koi qadar nahi ki. Ya Allah, forgive us. Ya Allah, the duas that he made behind the Muqam Ibrahim and on Safa and Marwa and in Mina, Arafat and Muzdalifa. Ya Allah, bless us with all that goodness that he asked. And oh Allah, protect us, our parents, our wives and children and the entire ummah from all the fitnas and corruption and mischief that he asked for protection. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.